First of all, then, I urge that supplications and prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I am appointed a herald, an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentile in faith and truth. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, we had a wonderful time, as I shared with some of you during our announcements, at food and fellowship and laughter and faith here on our campus this past Wednesday. Thank you to all who served and came and was a part of that wonderful fellowship time and celebration here at our church family. While we were gathering and visiting, some had asked me and continued to ask, well, how is it going with your home build? As some of you know, Manya and I started building a house on the family place there, and things are going well. But some of us maybe are aware that during these times, it's not always easy to find all the various contractors that you need when you're trying to get something done. Fixer-upper people, boy, they're hard to find, aren't they? Hard to find electricians, framers. All the various components to building a home or just getting something repaired around your house. Sometimes that can be a challenge, right? Well, we finally found a group to lay our blocks, or place our blocks, maybe say, for our basement. And we had to search high and low, and we found a group. And, you know, as we were inspecting their work, we all talked about it, said, well, they did a good job. But you have to be careful if somebody doesn't do a good job during these times of not being able to always have the labor that you need. Because if you throw a fit and you get ugly, guess what? You won't get anything done, right? You'll be waiting another 6 months trying to find anybody. You kind of, in these times, have to take the job that they give you. We were fortunate that we got a good job. But you know, as you consider limited resources, shall we say, or options in our construction industry or in repairs that we need to our physical well-being, we also have limited options for the care of our spiritual well-being. How about that? Did you hear in our text today where Paul says to Timothy, one he's nurturing in the faith, guess what, Timothy? You got one option. Just like old Jody and Manya had one option for their block builders, you have one option to represent you before God. Now, he says it a little prettier than me. He says, Paul does to Timothy, you have one mediator. How about that? Judge Elliot can tell us about that. A mediator. One who speaks for us. One who represents us. One who perhaps brings two parties together and tries to bring peace or reconciliation. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I don't have a good mediator, I'm going to feel pretty vulnerable if my relationship is broken with someone, correct? Whether it be marriage counseling or a business contract that needs to be negotiated, when there is a fracture in a relationship, we need someone skilled to help us mediate and put that relationship back together. Well, goodness gracious, y'all, we're in a pickle. We're in a pickle spiritually. Because we only have one choice. We only have one hope. And what if we had to pick the bottom of the barrel, like in the construction industry at times, where we just have to take what's offered? But thanks be to God, that's not our case spiritually. Not only, dear friends, do we only have one mediator, but guess what? His job is always perfect and pleasing to us as the recipient. Wow. Consider that with me. That God's love for us is so great that He sent His Son to be our Savior, to be our one mediator that will never fail us in the performance that He does for us. Wow. That's the gift of heaven, Mike. That's the gift of God's grace to us, Sharon. That not only do we have one mediator, but we have a perfect mediator to reconcile us before God. The job is always complete. That's enough to go home on right there, but I'm going to keep on preaching a little bit if y'all don't mind. Not only does Paul speak to us here today about Jesus being the one mediator, but he also says to us, I like these words. He speaks to us and he says how we have this Savior who has given Himself as a ransom for all, verse 6 tells us. Gave Himself as a ransom for all. You know, when you think of a ransom, certainly I guess one of the first things that come to mind is a ransom is something that's paid or offered for another. I saw a Facebook post from my dear friend, General Harold Cross. Some of you know Harold, a wonderful patriot in our land, must say. Grew up in the great community of Faulkner, Mississippi. He's a Faulkner Eagle. Harold posted yesterday on his Facebook that he attended, that yesterday was POW and MIA Day in the United States, remembering those who were prisoners of war or missing in action. And as he was at this celebration, this memorial, and this honoring service, he took a photo and he was seated with another Mississippian, Lieutenant Colonel Tom Collins. And as Harold said, I was grateful to be able to honor the service of these who were prisoners of war. I sat by this patriot who, during the Vietnam War, had been shot down from his airplane and spent 7 years in a North Vietnamese prison camp as a prisoner of war. 7 years. You know, you hear that word, ransom. And it means a little something to us, but it probably means so much more to Lieutenant Colonel Collins, one who had actually been incarcerated, who'd been in prison physically, to be set free. I can't imagine the liberty, the joy that embraced his life when he finally found deliverance from what and who held him captive, right? Oh, but friends, this is the word that Paul uses to speak to us about the prisoners we are, even beyond physical restraints, but also spiritual, mental, emotional restraints. He said that Jesus, the one mediator, came to give Himself as a ransom for us to set us free. I looked up that word ransom, and several different words were used to describe the word ransom in Webster's dictionary. If I can find them here today, I'll share them with you. Yes, here are some of the words. Ransom as a noun describes what happens. One word definitions: release, freedom, liberation, rescue, redemption, restoration, set free. Friends, I can't tell you how many ways that speaks to my journey with Christ. My journey in this world. Times that I've been held captive in my own sinfulness, my own selfishness, my own brokenness. Jesus Christ, the one mediator, came in a way even far greater than Lieutenant Colonel Collins and those who'd been set free from prison camps. God came to us in the prison of our brokenness to set us free forever. That's the life-giving love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave His very life that we may have life and have it, hear this, more abundantly in Him. See, God always gives more. Our Louisiana friends call that lagniappe, right? Lagniappe, a little something extra, a baker's dozen, 13 instead of 12. God always gives extra, Norris, not just life. Salvation, Vince, where this text says that Jesus desires for everyone to be saved and He is the root of salvation. But not only does God give life forever, existence, but life more abundantly even now. Guys, that's not preacher talk. That's coming from a knucklehead who's tried it on his own. And it's found in Jesus Christ, His best life, His best marriage, His best working relationships, His best effort to live in joy in a broken world is found in Jesus Christ leading the way. That's still enough to go home on, but I'm going to keep on a little further, y'all. Our God, when we hear these words that He desires for everyone to be saved, you know what it speaks of? It speaks of God's love for all people, right? We talked about the other night, we had a theme of team spirit at our Wednesday night gathering. And I alluded to in our devotion that, you know, in God, we are one team, right? My dad likes to say, when he's talking to others, he said, as a Mississippian, if we win as a Mississippian, I'm in good shape. Because we've got Ole Miss graduates, we've got Mississippi State graduates, and we got Southern Miss graduates. So any of them win, I'm game. I'm in good shape. Friends, we are one team through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because if He desires for everyone to be saved, everyone to be His children, that means that they, them, the folks out there, everyone is also our siblings in Christ. We are one family. What does family do? They love and care and stand up for one another. They're there when no one else is. Friends, that's our role as the church. In a world where it's so easy to get mad at somebody and express your anger and find things to disagree about, church is the one place where we are one through the love of Christ. Paul began these words today by telling us how to do that, I think. He began by saying these beautiful words as he says to us, there's one mediator, there's one who gives ransom for us. And then he goes on to say here, he said, just as there's one mediator between God and humankind, Jesus Christ, who Himself became a ransom for us. He said, here's what we should do in response to that. Actually, he said it first. He said, first of all, then I urge that supplications and prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and those in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. Now let's unpack that just a little bit. How long are we going here? We got a few more minutes. Got a few more minutes. I'm going to give y'all a double portion because I'm not going to be here next Sunday. So we got to go a little bit longer, don't we? Let's unpack that a little bit. How do we live out love for all? How do we help others embody what Paul said, that God desires for everyone to be saved? Jesus is the Savior. How do we help them see that love of Christ? He says here, we begin by praying for everyone. The greatest gift that we as a church can offer are the prayers of the saints. You are the saints. The prayers of the faithful for those around us, for one another. Friends, there are miracles in prayer. Pray for those who need to know the love of Jesus Christ. Pray for a world and a nation that's broken, that we will be set free and ransomed through Christ, reconciled through His grace. He says, pray for everyone, those in high places and, yes, those in low places. You know what else happens in the process when we get out of ourselves and we pray for the other, remembering that they are our brother and our sister, that we also once again find more joy for ourselves when we live for the other. How about that? Here's what Paul said. He says, as you're praying for others, also pray this. Don't forget, hear it again. He says, pray prayers of thanksgiving. In other words, consider how God has blessed you. Count your blessings. And if you do this, Eileen, if you do this, if you pray for others and say prayers of thanksgiving for yourself, guess what's going to be in your life? Here it is. Big word here. He says, then you will live a peaceable life. You know what I hear that saying? I don't hear that saying, we're just going to get along good with everybody else. Yes, that's a fruit of praying for them and caring for others and being thankful for ourselves. But you know what I hear Paul saying too? If you want peace in your own life, start with praying for someone else and end with thanking God for what He's done for you. Then you will live a peaceable life. Heard it preached this week by Dr. Karen Todd, one of my colleagues at seminary. She said she was quoting, hey, this isn't the only place Paul says it. In Philippians, where Paul wrote the church in Philippi, he said that beautiful passage where he said, prayers and supplication for others, glory and worship to God, and the peace of God, right? We've heard it before, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If there's room, hear me, church. If there's room for more peace in your heart, if you'd like a little less anxiety, tension in your marriage or in your relationships at work, if there's room for more joy, then here's the prescription for peace. Pray, give thanks to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart. Guard your relationships. Guard your life. Thanks be to God for the one who ransomed Himself for us forever. Amen.